Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Brian Cameron, Professor of Practice and Executive Director for the Center for Enterprise Architecture, Penn State. Brian is also the founder of FEPO, the Federation of Enterprise Architecture Professional Organizations, and the EA initiative at Penn State. This is the first part of a two-part interview series. Part one focuses on FEPO, and part two focuses on Penn State Enterprise Architecture Initiative, both led by Brian. Brian, you bring a substantive history of significant and considerable contribution to education, research, enterprise architecture, executive thought leadership, and innovation to this interview. We are indeed fortunate to have you share your many deep experiences with the audience. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the invitation to be with you today, Stephen.
Brian, I was just looking over your background. Just amazing. So for the benefit of the audience, can you maybe profile some of your background and your areas of interest?
Sure. I've been on all sides of the enterprise architecture equation, starting my career as a systems analyst with IBM, later as a member of an ERP team with a defense-related organization, and eventually assuming a senior IT leadership role where I led a team that designed and implemented the national infrastructure for a large storage corporation. I currently consult on enterprise systems and architecture-related areas with companies such as Oracle, EMC, and Avaya, and others. On the research side, I'm pursuing an active research agenda in EA value measurement and EA maturity, as well as EA framework and methodology usage. I'm on the editorial boards of a number of leading journals and serve on the boards of a number of EA professional associations.
You do have a focus on enterprise architecture, EA. Why should CIOs care about this, and can you comment on the first World CIO Forum?
Sure. The forum is going to be a great venue for the presentation and discussion of key issues of importance to researchers and IT executives from across the globe. This will also be a great venue for the discussion of the emerging role of enterprise architecture in organizations throughout the globe. Enterprise architecture is emerging globally as a critical function to improve the long-term efficiency, effectiveness, and agility of the organization. And it's very much on the forefront of thought for many CIOs today. I'm very much looking forward to the event.
Well, I understand you're going to be speaking at the event, and you're also going to be on one of the boards of councils of the event as well because of just your world leadership in enterprise architecture. Can you give the audience a bit of a brief picture of what you're going to talk about?
Sure. I'll be talking about our Enterprise Architecture Initiative and our new Center for Enterprise Architecture here at Penn State. Also be providing an overview of the Federation of Enterprise Architecture Professional Organizations, FEPO, that we're in the process of forming. And then I'll talk about larger issues in enterprise architecture that are of importance to CIOs and some of the critical functions that enterprise architecture and critical capabilities that enterprise architecture are bringing to organizations throughout the world.
So I guess, again, for the benefit of the audience, the best site to go to in terms of getting more information would be the world.cioforum.com, where you can register and find out more about the event, and it's going to be held November 1st to 4th this year. Now, you founded an EA, or Enterprise Architecture Advisory Group. Now, what is the purpose of the group, and can you outline the members of the group, and how are they contributing?
Sure. Through our Enterprise Architecture Initiative at Penn State, we have an EA advisory group of over 70 international corporations, industry association, and government agencies that works with us in our new Center for Enterprise Architecture on a variety of educational and research initiatives surrounding enterprise architecture. We have, it's almost a who's who's list of organizations and industries. And the Enterprise Architecture Initiative and its components will be the subject of the next interview, but we've got a number of exciting educational research initiatives that we're kicking off actually this week with our center members.
Now, what is the genesis behind this sort of FEPO idea? And maybe you can get into more detail how this all occurred.
Sure. The idea for FEPO originated in the spring of 2010 as I was working with the different professional organizations that are involved in our center group at Penn State. And the idea arose from my desire to do something about the current fragmentation between the many enterprise architecture-related professional organizations. So over the last 2 years, I've been invited to serve on a number of working committees in many of these organizations. And I've seen a lot of good work conducted in these working groups, but also much duplication of effort. For example, there are 7 EA competency development projects currently underway. When one organization comes out with its set of competencies, the other organizations that weren't part of that initiative tend to perhaps naysay that set of competencies and then may come out with their own. And, you know, EA professionals in general, because of this lack of communication and coordination between the different associations, don't know which set of competencies are more valid than others, which to follow, and which associated certifications, if there are certifications, are valid and worthwhile. So it creates quite a bit of confusion in the industry. So I decided to try to do something about this situation for the general benefit of the profession. With FIPO, once we get going, an organization could bring its competency standards to FIPO for comment by the member organizations and further development by the member professional organizations. Then the competency standards would get the FIPO seal of approval, would have the backing and endorsement of all the member organizations, and then I truly believe we'd have something that could make an impact on the profession. Concept, when it becomes a reality, will greatly decrease the current fragmentation that I mentioned that we see between the different organizations. Some are already starting to call this effort as potentially one of the most significant developments in the profession in the last decade. And this next year will be crucial to the evolution of FIPO.
So then what is the vision, mission, and goals of FIPO, and how will this be accomplished?
FIPO is an association, as I said, of worldwide professional organizations whose members have an active interest in the practice and professionalism of enterprise architecture. The mission of FIPO is to provide a forum to discuss cross-organizational activities, standardize, professionalize, and otherwise advance the discipline of enterprise architecture. So FIPO, for example, wouldn't necessarily come out with its own standards per se, but rather have member organizations bring their standards projects and other projects of common interest to the organization for broader comment, further refinement, and then eventual endorsement. The FIPO concept would provide a needed mechanism to facilitate the collaboration and coordination of activities among professional organizations related to enterprise architecture. And FIPO would work toward a better integrated community and what we're calling a one face for the advancement of the practice and profession of enterprise architecture. So we have organizations that focus on enterprise architecture as a whole, and we also have member organizations that focus on different slices of the broad umbrella of enterprise architecture, for example, the business architecture associations, data architecture associations, et cetera.
You know, it's interesting, Brian. I was asked to keynote the Strategic Architecture Forum, and we had a number of architect groups in there, including enterprise architects, software architect, infrastructure architects, and so on. But I remember sort of discussing this with other professionals in IT, and they weren't really quite sure what that meant, this whole area of being an architect. Maybe you can further define what enterprise architecture is.
Sure. As you know, there are many different definitions and perspectives on enterprise architecture. Enterprise architecture has its roots in the IT architecture of the organization, and many today still have that view of enterprise architecture, primarily the IT architecture and infrastructure of the organization. Our view at Penn State, and the view that most of our, I'd say all of our member organizations hold, is that enterprise architecture is evolving and in many cases has evolved beyond its roots in the IT organization to extend throughout the enterprise. So we're looking at how to adapt and apply some of the methodologies and frameworks that we've been using for decades in the IT area to the rest of the organization. So our whole perspective and our research and educational programs at Penn State is to look at the entire enterprise and how we can better align not just the IT organization, but all parts of the enterprise with the mission and strategy of the organization. So in many ways, I see enterprise architecture as having the potential to operationalize strategic alignment. We've been talking about the strategic alignment of IT and business for decades, but in most cases, this alignment has not really materialized in most organizations around the globe. And in my opinion, that's been because of a lack of proven method to operationalize this alignment. Everybody conceptually agrees that this is important and needs to be done. And I think with enterprise architecture, we have the methodologies, the frameworks, et cetera, that can be adapted to the entire enterprise to, as I said, operationalize enterprise alignment.
I see. So really taking a programmatic approach to ensuring that IT and the business side are aligned and working in unison and ensuring the vision, mission, goals, and objectives of the business side as well.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, with regards to FEPO, this Federation of Enterprise Architecture Professional Organizations, who are the initial groups involved and how has this matured?
I invited representatives of the six largest professional associations that were involved in our enterprise architecture initiative to Penn State in June of 2010 to discuss the concept of FEPO as a mechanism for the enterprise architecture community to undertake cross-organizational activities, facilitate better communication between these groups, coordination of activities, and eventual perhaps consolidation of activities. The initial organizations at that meeting were the Association for Enterprise Information, the Association for Open Group Enterprise Architects, the Business Architecture Society, the Center for the Advancement of the Enterprise Architecture Profession, the Enterprise Architecture Shared Interest Group from the Industry Advisory Council within the U.S. federal government, and the Integration Consortium. And to be honest, I wasn't sure how this initial meeting would go. Everybody agreed to attend and participate, and I believe the meeting exceeded all of our expectations. I think everybody involved saw the need for something like this, felt the time was right, and we had a very productive meeting. And since then, the idea has gained much momentum. A second meeting was conducted in September of 2010, again here at Penn State. And at this meeting, it was decided that we, if FEPO was going to go forward, that we should invite all of the known professional organizations that fall under the broad umbrella of enterprise architecture. So I assumed the responsibility of doing the initial contact with these organizations, as most of them see me as a neutral facilitator. I'm not here to advocate one group over the other, and I think that role has resonated well with the different professional organizations. The first organizational meeting of the expanded group of FEPO was conducted January 27th and 28th in Washington, D.C. I should also mention that MITRE, Forrester, Gartner, and the Qatar Consortium are functioning as external advisors during the startup process. They're functioning almost as devil's advocates in many ways for us and have been great partners in this role, helping us to consider things as an outside observer. Initiatives like this have been tried in other industries and haven't gotten very far. I think a few things that makes this initiative different. The other initiatives that we studied when we first started out were always initiated by one of the larger groups in the particular profession, and typically were met by skepticism and mistrust from some of the other groups. Here, my role as a neutral facilitator, I think, brings an air of neutrality to the initial formation of the group. And so far, it's been going very, very well. I should also mention that additional input is being provided by the Office of the Federal Chief Architect, the National Defense University, and many federal CIOs. The list of organizations, as I mentioned, is growing to be international and currently includes over 20 professional organizations. A complete list of the organizations can be found at the FEPO website, which will be up in a few days. We're very much in startup mode with the organization, but it'll be at www.fepo.org later this week.
Well, that's excellent. Then that means that there's a sort of repository of what's happening in this whole space. And then I can see why now you're going to be speaking at the World CIO Forum in November of this year.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
So how does FIPL benefit and provide value to the different stakeholders, such as industry and governments, business and clients, employers, academia, society, computing, the profession, the computing professional, and internationally?
Well, I believe the discipline of enterprise architecture is at a critical juncture currently. And the type of communication and collaboration opportunity that FIPO offers is important to the continued maturation of the profession. Without this mechanism for communication and collaboration, the current confusion and fragmentation in the industry will continue, and the future of enterprise architecture as a true profession may be in question. So I believe FIPO is a natural step in the maturity of the profession.
What are the next steps for FIPO in 2011?
FIPO is currently refining and ratifying a charter for the group, a governance structure, and developing short-term and long-term goals for the organization. We have good momentum, but there's quite a bit of work to do. We hope to have all members ready to ratify the charter in mid-May of this year.
Can you profile the roadmap for FIPO into 2015 and then beyond?
This is tough to predict and will be driven by the voting members of the organization. I, for example, will not be a voting member as I do not represent a professional organization, and I believe this would also compromise my neutrality. I will likely have a leadership position on the executive board and may help develop an academic arm of FIPO in the future. As I said, we hope to formally ratify the charter in May and then establish tactical working groups. Two areas of need, in my opinion, are in competency standards review and in consolidation in body of knowledge project coordination. I've already talked about the issue with different competency standard development projects, and a similar issue exists with the various bodies of knowledge or BOCs that have been developed by the different professional organizations. BOCs, in my opinion, are another area of confusion in the profession. There are several EA-related BOCs with some overlap in various areas, and I believe we need a working group to discuss BOC coordination and maybe someday develop some type of organizing portal into the different BOCs. So FIPO would not develop its own BOC, in my opinion, but we'd work with the organizations that have existing BOCs to foster coordination, communication, and maybe less overlap and more logic and structure between the different BOCs that exist.
I see. When you're mentioning BOCs, you're really meaning the body of knowledges that are out there in different aspects or disciplines.
Yes.
And, of course, I guess there'll be sort of this ability to mine the landscape of best practices and other standards as well.
Yes, that's one of the goals.
Now, how does FIPL tie into your work and research?
Well, one of our goals at Penn State is to have enterprise architecture mature into a mainstream academic discipline. In my opinion, unless the professional organizations begin to come together in this nature, EA may never coalesce as a true profession. This was one of my main motivators for the creation of the FIPO organization.
Now, Brian, you have this amazing background. You have been doing research in this area. In fact, as I mentioned, you're really the world's leading expert in enterprise architecture and other areas as well. You're the executive director of the Center for Enterprise Architecture. You have this advisory board of over 70 organizations, many of them international, some of the leading organizations, including CIOs and federal CIOs and more. So from that perspective, can you sort of provide your top recommended resources and why you're recommending them?
Sure. Professional resources for enterprise architecture are not plentiful at present, unfortunately. On the professional side, I utilize Gartner and Forrester Research, Architecture and Governance Magazine, CIO Magazine. I find a lot of benefits from the various EA conferences. I regularly attend the Open Group, Gartner and Forrester Enterprise Architecture Conferences. On the academic side, the Journal of Enterprise Architecture and Journal of Enterprise Transformation often publish interesting research articles in the area, but both journals are relatively young. One of our goals at Penn State and through our work with FIPO is to assist in the creation of a strong academic research community in enterprise architecture and better academic outlets for enterprise architecture related research.
Now, again, because of your extensive background, can you share some interesting stories, perhaps, or something unexpected or surprising, amazing, perhaps even humorous from your work with FIPO?
Sure. The first one that comes to mind is, I would say, both humorous and amazing, and that would be the dedication of many of our group members to the FIPO concept. One individual in particular, Len Feskins from the Association of Open Group Enterprise Architects, drove over 17 hours in a snowstorm a few weeks ago to attend the first organizational meeting of the extended FIPO group in Washington, D.C. This trip normally takes about 5 hours. Len almost ran out of gas twice, had to borrow a can of gas in order to make the meeting, and he arrived tired but very ready to contribute. And you know, I can't say enough that we just have an incredible group of people working together on this initiative. The second, humorous and somewhat unexpected and amazing, the importance of my neutral role in all of this. As I mentioned before, organizations like FIPO have been attempted in other industries in the past, but typically haven't gotten very far. As I mentioned, they're typically started by a larger organization approaching others in the industry. The approaching organizations typically met with some skepticism, and the discussions typically don't go very far. And I understand the organizations involved and have been working with many of the organizations involved for a number of years. And I think everybody understands I'm not here to favor one organization over the other, and I believe I've earned the trust of most involved. This also puts me in a position of getting phone calls and emails when one organization needs to work an issue with another, which can be humorous at times and taxing as well. The third story I'll relay, which I believe is truly amazing, is how fast FIPO has grown. We're up to over 20 organizations internationally and counting in less than 8 months from the very first meeting. Hopefully we can keep this momentum going.
I find that story about Len quite intriguing. I mean, that very much indicates passion and commitment.
Len's a great guy. I can't say enough about Len.
Now, what are your thoughts on computing as a recognized profession like medicine or accounting, law, engineering, with demonstrated professional development, adherence to a code of ethics, and globally recognized credentials?
Well, the computing industry in general struggles to achieve the same level of professionalism that we see in other industries and professions. And EA is no exception. As I mentioned before, I see EA as at an inflection point in many ways. Many organizations, corporations, government entities, et cetera, are in the process of creating career paths for different types of EA professionals. But the profession in general is very fragmented, as I've mentioned many times in this interview. And there are many professional organizations that all claim to serve the profession or parts of the profession, but no one single leader like we may have in other areas and professions such as project management. Nobody questions the PMI Institute's position in the project management field. And we don't have this yet in enterprise architecture. But FIPO has the potential to solve or greatly reduce this fragmentation problem between the many industry groups. And as I said, the next few years will be crucial to the continued maturation of the profession, and I hope that the FIPO organization plays an increasingly important role in that maturation. FIPO will actively work with groups like IP3 to help increase the stature and professionalism of enterprise architecture and the computing industry in general.
Brian, we've covered a number of questions in terms of FIPO and enterprise architecture. But, you know, there's probably some questions I've missed in terms of this interview here today. So let's turn the tables. If you were doing this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
Okay. The first I might ask is, what is one of the greatest challenges you've had in the formation of FIPO? And I would answer that, believe it or not, it's been how to deal with the less than reputable or you know, sometimes fraudulent professional organizations that exist in this industry. There are several professional organizations that are really fronts for consulting or training organizations and are not true professional organizations that serve a true active membership. Many of these organizations want to become voting members of HEPO, and this, in my opinion, would greatly diminish the integrity of the group and may even cause some of the established legitimate professional organizations to pull out. We're currently drafting the charter for the organization and associated bylaws to prevent this. These for-profit organizations could become non-voting members of HEPO to have their voices heard. Nobody wants to stifle their voices, but I think everybody agrees they should not be allowed to affect the direction of the organization. I honestly was surprised how many of these less than legitimate professional organizations exist. And many look credible on the surface until you start looking under the hood. And I believe that this also diminishes the professionalism of the field, in my opinion. Second, I might ask, what are the greatest challenges to HEPO going forward? And I believe this the greatest challenge we have at this point in time is keeping this many professional organizations together and moving forward. This next year will be crucial, and nobody's pretending that this has been or will be easy. And it's filled with risks along the way. But I guess nothing worthwhile is ever easy. Third, if HEPO fails to coalesce as an organization, what will this mean for the profession? If HEPO fails to coalesce and move forward, in my opinion, the future of the profession gets more questionable, and our programs at Penn State may never become truly mainstream in academia. I think everyone involved realizes this, and we increasingly have almost a united we stand feeling to the group, and I hope this continues. One other reason for optimism, I believe, is that for the most part, everyone in this group is an architect of some type, and these people tend to be able to see the big picture and put their individual agendas aside, maybe not always, but most times. And if you're doing a follow-up interview with us in a year, we're on our way to true success.
Well, that's excellent. And it's excellent that you, Brian Cameron, with your executive leadership, your ability to innovate, your status as really probably the world's leading expert in enterprise architecture, that you've taken this on. I mean, it's quite an additional bit of work that you've been doing. So I congratulate you on that. You very much are inspirational to all of the organizations that are involved to this point. So again, thank you for that. And we will continue to follow your significant contributions. And I know that and speaking on behalf of the audience, we thank you for sharing your time, wisdom, and deep insights in this interview. And we look forward to part two of this interview series.
Thank you, Stephen. It was a pleasure to be with you today.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Brian Cameron, professor of practice and executive director for the Center for Enterprise Architecture, Penn State. Brian is also the founder of FEPO, the Federation of Enterprise Architecture Professional Organizations. This interview was the first part of a two-part interview series. Part one focused on FEPO, and part two focuses on the Penn State EA initiative, both led by Brian.